Jesus said to his disciples, "In those days after that tribulation, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from the sky, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. And then they will say, 'See, the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory.' And then he will send out angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the end of the earth to the end of the sky. Learn a lesson from the fig tree. When its branch becomes tender and sprouts leaves, you know that summer is near. In the same way, when you see these things happening, know that he is near, at the gates. Amen. I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all these things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But of that day or hour, no one knows, neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Our Lord tells us today in his Gospel, the end times, the day of judgment. But also a lot more than that. This gospel, we can admit, is confusing. I think it's tempting we can just say, all right, it's a mystery, it's confusing, I guess we'll figure it out at the end. But until then, I don't get it. We can bury in a little bit deeper to see what the Lord is saying today. And I think a helpful, maybe odd image to help us break into this gospel today is the image of flying on a plane. On a plane ride, you fly over to your destination, but there's also two steps between there. You pass through the first gate, you go on your flight, then you pass out the second gate to get to your destination. Maybe this strikes home with Thanksgiving just in a week and a half away, but in our gospel we hear of us getting through the first gate. The first gate is the end of the old covenant, when Jesus established his new covenant and brought in the new era of Christ. When the first Christians would have heard the gospel, when they heard Jesus say, "This generation will not pass away until all these things have taken place." Well, it seems a lot longer than just one generation since Jesus' time. But in Jewish terms, a generation is not just a vague, an era. A generation is exactly 40 years. The Christians in those times would have known, okay, right just under 40 years from now, we need to be ready. And they were. Jesus said these words about 31 to 33 AD. Almost 40 years from then, 70 AD, was the destruction of the temple. And historians who weren't Jews, who weren't Christians, say that there wasn't a single Christian killed during the destruction of the Jewish temple, because they all knew the words of Jesus. It said that all the Christians went hiding in the mountains exactly during that time. They were listening to the words of Jesus, and they didn't think it was the end of the world. They thought it was the end of the temple. And they were right. That's the first gate they passed through. The end of the temple, but also Jesus' crucifixion and resurrection. It says, "In those days, the sun will be darkened." Just as in the crucifixion. When Christ died on the cross, on Mount Calvary, there was an eclipse of the sun, and everything went dark. That the first gate is the gate of Christ's death and resurrection. We all pass through that gate through our baptism and can enter into Christ's era. We are living in that era now. We've passed through the first gate and we are flying on the plane now, in a sense, getting to our destination, our home of heaven. The second gate is the end times, which Jesus does talk about. He says, "Of that day or hour, no one knows, neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father." We're talking about the end times when we don't know when that day will come. But he also says, even he doesn't know? How does the Father know, but the Son doesn't know? Every early Christian father says, that's a Jewish expression. Just like, it's raining cats and dogs. We don't mean that literally. In the same way, it's a Jewish idiom to mean, it's not my job to tell you the day or hour when it comes, but the Father will let us know. Jesus knows the day or time, but he's saying, it's not for you to know now. Okay, why not? Like, wouldn't it be kind of nice to know this day, this year, this month? Wouldn't that be nice? How would that help? In what way would that be helpful for us to know the day, time, or place? Jesus knows it's not for our good. Because honestly, how would that be useful? At the end of the day, what matters most in us getting to our destination is us wanting to be with the one at the destination. If someone is told, okay, on this day, on that hour, on that place, you'll have to fall in love with someone. But until then, you can put it off. You don't have to. Okay? That's not helpful at all. If we're not wanting to be with the Lord now, it's not going to be helpful for us to know, okay, you're going to have to start loving him by that time or else. We have to desire the Lord with all our hearts here and now. Our psalm today says it perfectly. Psalm 16 is my favorite psalm, and it says so beautifully, O Lord, you are my inheritance. Lord, you are my allotted portion, my cup. It's basically saying, Jesus, you are everything to me. Our middle schoolers are on retreat right now, and about an hour ago, we just sing a psalm of praise to God saying, I don't want anything else. I don't need anyone else. You are my one thing. The psalm cries out, Lord, you are my everything. There's such a big difference between someone who's flying somewhere because they have to on a work trip. I've got to be here, get through the gate then, get to my destination on time, versus someone who's flying home to their family. They have to do the details, yep, get through the gate, get through my flight, get through the other gate, but all the while in their heart is just, I just want to be there with the one I love. The cry of our hearts should be, Lord, you are my inheritance. You are everything. As we're passing through the flight, on this journey now to get to our destination, on our hearts constantly should be the question, is Jesus my everything? Or is he just one more detail that we have to have on the side? Is he the one that, Lord, I want you to be the desire of my heart, my inheritance? Or is he just one more thing we have to check the box on? Lord, give us the grace that as we're journeying to you, to one day be with you forever. Be our greatest joy then. Be our greatest joy now. So that one day, when you come again, or at the end of our lives, Jesus, you find us ready and desiring to be with you, our inheritance forever.